Yesterday marked 35 years since Te Reo Māori was made an official language in Aotearoa. I explored the history of Te Reo oppression and revitalisation with Chief Māori Language Commissioner Professor Rawinia Higgins, discussing the importance of revitalising Te Reo Māori specifically in Aotearoa. I began by asking her about the significance of the 1867 Native Schools Act, which ordered instruction to be conducted predominantly in English as one of many government efforts to assimilate Māori into Pākehā society.
Maybe if we're going to look at our history, we could probably go back a little bit further before the Native Schools Act to the 1847 Education Ordinance from Sir George Grey, because that pivotal point of where they introduced assimilation policies into the education system and the start of English being the medium for instruction, whereas prior to that, the missionaries had taught literacy, but through Te Reo Māori. And Māori, at one point in our history, as a result of early contacts with missionaries, were very literate, and in fact, more literate than early settlers. So the 1847 Education Ordinance kind of stopped the instruction in Te Reo Māori and moved into the beginning of teaching English, and of course, subsequent acts such as the Native Schools Act that you talked about were introduced to reinforce the ordinance set by Grey 20 years earlier. So the impact of that on Te Reo Māori, of course, is that within schools, the permeation of English starts to be more dominant. And of course, the overriding mission was to colonise Māori people generally through the education system.
So then after a very long period of te reo being stifled and unable to be freely used in New Zealand, what did the Māori Language Act mean for the revitalisation of te reo in Aotearoa?
The first legislation in 1987, of course, comes out of a Waitangi Tribunal claim, the Y11 Te Reo Māori claim, which was put forward in 1985. This is at a period where there's been quite a lot of movement from the community in terms of language revitalisation. So 50 years ago this year was the signing of the petition for Te Reo Māori to introduce Te Reo into schools. And this was largely led by university students from both Auckland University and Victoria University through Ngā Tamatoa and the Te Reo Māori Society to gather around and collect signatures to force the government to consider introducing Te Reo Māori into schools. Now, they're largely a group of young first-generation urban migration Māori people who didn't have Te Reo Māori as part of their home, and consequently they behind the movement because they understood what it meant to have no reo. And from there, 40 years ago, you get the birth of Kohanga Reo, which was fostered by the speakers of Te Reo Māori who were our elders, so our kaumātua, who largely still had Te Reo and were the backbone of those kind of movements like Kohanga Reo, and then in 1985, Kura Kaupapa, the immersion schooling. The claim kind of culminated with the flurry of community activity led by Ngā Kai Whakapūmau Te Reo Māori and the late Dr. Huirangi Waikerepuru. And that claim was heard and a report was produced in 1985. And then one of the recommendations of that report is Māori Language Act. And so becoming an official language through that legislation also saw the introduction of Te Tautawhiri Te Reo Māori, the Māori Language Commission, and that recognition through status, language status, cemented Te Reo Māori as a language of this nation through that legislation, but also has allowed more initiatives to leverage off official status to be generated amongst our communities through institutions for broader recognition of Te Reo Māori.
And going back to what you said, the reclamation of te reo is crucial for rangatahi in Aotearoa, Māori, non-Māori, and this has been quite youth-led recently. We're also seeing the growing use of te reo by New Zealand youth, which is very encouraging, but what more does the government need to do to ensure that the language is safeguarded for future generations?
I think one of the things that we have to recognise is language revitalisation is a three-generation effort. And so one of the what's really heartening for me is seeing all the initiatives that were put in by our elders, such as Kohanga Reo and Kura Kaupapa, are starting to bear fruit. And so that creation of that first generation, so rangatahi, today where the language, as a result of the effort, are seeing the language as being very much part of who they are and their identity in Aotearoa New Zealand. So they see the relevance of being connected to this place through Te Reo Māori. So the stats that show this increase of rangatahi valuing Te Reo Māori and using Te Reo Māori is kind of the fruits that those elders had dreamed about a generation beforehand. So the creation of that first generation, but also a number of those people who are having children themselves, are making that choice to ensure that their children's first language is Te Reo Māori. And that's kind of encouraging in the stat that one in four Māori tamariki, Te Reo Māori becomes their first language. And so that's all part of the journey. Since the change in the legislation in 2016, Te Ture Mo Te Reo Māori, which has amended the legislation to ensure that there's a space for language in the home, so language of the whānau through Te Mātāwai, and that Te Tautawhiri Te Reo Māori, our role now is around creating better conditions across society. So our vision is Kia Mā Horohoro Te Reo, which means to spread the language far and wide, and ensuring that as a society we are embracing of Te Reo Māori. So our role is support more New Zealanders to see the value of Te Reo Māori, to encourage them to use as much Te Reo Māori as they can and wherever they can, so that it's part of that normalising factor.
3 in 5 New Zealanders do think Te Reo should be a core subject in primary schools. Do you think the government is ready to act on this?
I think this is always an interesting question that comes up at every election year. So the politicisation of Te Reo Māori in schools seems to be one of the few things that people question in, around the education curriculum. I think as society is starting to embrace Māori Te Reo, the education system has made an effort to try and introduce Māori Te Reo. I know the Te Ahu o Te Reo program has been designed to upskill some of the teachers in all schools to be able to use Te Reo in their classroom. We're still a long way off from having enough capacity and capability across the education system, but I think as we continue to move in that space, we'll be able to grow the cohort that we need and be encouraged that rangatahi already have a competency in Te Reo, so that the next generation of teachers, hopefully the struggle won't be as hard. So as we build that capacity up, then I'm hopeful for the future. I think the challenge that we always have when people ask that question is, you know, it kind of comes around and the pendulum swings both ways. And across society, but I always find it intriguing that of all the subjects that are taught in our curriculum across the country, this is the one that always comes up.
That was Professor Rawania Higgins, Chair of the Māori Language Commission, reinforcing the importance of revitalising Te Reo Māori in Aotearoa.